You're listening to Big Tom and Roach, a different type of morning show, only on the Giggles Live Radio Network.
I just kept hearing it. I'm ducking and everything. God, dude, in the house, I stayed. I dropped my iPod.
You're listening to the Giggles Live Radio Network.
I wouldn't be so hostile if you had 1 ounce of talent.
Sit around and cook some soups and eat bread and desserts and just get all fat and sassy.
You're listening to the Giggles Live Radio Network.
Good morning, folks. It's a nice day in California.
Here's Big Tom and Roach.
You're listening to the Giggles Live Radio Network.
And we are here on a Thursday morning. Yeah, Thursday morning. So hard.
When you say Thursday, you know, I think that's standard American English.
And I'm standard American, so that's perfect.
So when people go Thursday, it's actually the correct dialect is Thursday.
I actually picked that up from my grandpa, who was an Okie, and he used to say Thursday.
Thursday. Well, that's a little deeper.
Got an appointment Thursday.
Thursday.
I thought it was just a way of Okie talking.
No, so the Okie talking, this is very interesting. I learned this when I was at school.
Getting your bachelor degrees.
With, yes, my many, many bachelor degrees.
Yeah, one of them. Yeah.
Yes. So one of the things that I studied was dialects, right? So linguistics. And so what's very interesting is that the twang from the South or the old school kind of way of speaking came because we were originally, there was British people here. Mm-hmm. So it's like a cross between that. So like your Southern dialect actually comes from
the Brits.
The Brits.
Oh goodness.
Isn't that interesting? Because that was like the original, right? So like, and so we're on the West Coast. We migrated here later on. Mm-hmm. So we've lost it, but we do have our own. I mean, even if you live in California and you live in the country, you speak differently than the people that live in LA.
Yeah. That's true.
So
I always get, people think that I have an accent, like I'm from Oklahoma or something. I've lived in California my whole life.
Yeah.
I think it's just because I talk slow.
Well, oh, I talk slow. I know I talk slow. I've heard people tell me, like, you need to speed up a little bit.
But if you talk fast and your mouth is working faster than your brain, which it probably already is anyways.
That's probably why.
Then you run into problems. Then that's where my problem is.
Then I'm just slow, period. I don't just speak slow. I'm just slow. I feel like I speak slower now more than ever because I feel as though I have to choose my words very wisely.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
So there's so much room for interpretation and miscommunication, especially on texts.
Well, it's also, not to mention, people are looking for reasons to be irritated with each other, too.
People are so addicted to anger that they're just like, anything will trigger them.
Yeah.
What did you mean by that?
Yeah.
Why would you say that?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's what I thought.
Right.
It's not meant to hurt you.
We've gotten past the thing of taking people at face value too, where like, not me and you, just for the case, just for the sake of the conversation, I say something to you, you're not listening to what I'm saying so much as trying to figure out what I'm really saying. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and again, not me and you, because I think we communicate pretty well, but like the, in general, a lot of times you talk to somebody and you're looking at them and you're going, okay, you're telling me these words, but what are you really saying?
Right.
And it's kind of we've gotten to where we're, I don't know, are we not honest enough with each other? What
I don't
is
think
it?
We are. I don't think when people sometimes say something to me, I go, I don't really think that you think that.
Oh, yeah.
I think you're not being your authentic self right now. And I know you're saying that because you feel that it's you're supposed to say it.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you are following this group because you feel that you have to do it to be a good person.
Yeah, because you've already bought in and you can't go back right now. That was a big part of it.
And it's a very disappointing thing to see.
Yeah.
Especially when it's somebody that you have respected your whole life and honored, and you're like, what happened to you and when did you drink that pill?
Yeah.
You
know? Especially with somebody you like admire intellectually, where you're like,
oh, intellectually and spiritually, yeah, you know? And it's when did you start, number one, when did you start following things that you have such a strong opinion about things?
Right.
And what I realized about this person was that they're kind of a, there's a kind of a personality, and I don't know if you know anybody like this, but this one person that I'm thinking of who I love very much, when she starts something, she becomes addicted to it and she goes in 100%,
mm-hmm,
right? Like religion, yoga, tennis, I don't know, gardening, like whatever it is, it's like that is their thing. They're totally, that's all they want to do, and they're focused on it.
Now, does this go until a point of burnout and then that's all gone, or does it?
I think, yes, like something happens, like, oh, tennis elbow, I can't, doctor says I can't play anymore. Mm-hmm. Or the religious thing has stayed pretty consistent. The problem that I have is like the religion thing is not staying consistent with your current pill taking. Like, I'm like, I don't understand why you're, I can understand if you want to stay an independent, I can understand how you still may not be okay with certain things, right? And still have a mind of your own, but she is like 100%
bought in.
And I'm just kind of like, where did you go?
Yeah. That's such a dangerous thing. It really is. I'm sure that's me.
And it bums me out because there's a feeling of just kind of lack of, it's not even an annoyance at that point. It's just kind of like, it's like sad to watch.
Well, it makes it difficult because you want to be able to have conversations with people and you want to be able to at least start up a conversation and at least get to where
I don't. And that's the thing is like they come in and I say they because she came with her sister.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like they want to have that conversation with me. And it's like, I don't want to talk to you about this.
They don't want to have a conversation. They want to sway your way of viewing. They don't. If they wanted to have a conversation, you'd be open to it because you're a communicator.
Yeah, but it comes off as aggressive.
Yeah.
And so I kind of just go, I don't want to do this to you. And in my head, I'm going, you're a fool.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. What am I going to give you an opportunity to give you more, you know, I'm going to give you an opportunity to make me have less respect for you kind of.
Yeah. Like, I'm just kind of like, I'm not going to do this with you because you really actually, I don't know what you're spewing.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not looking at the facts. The facts are that there's lots of money everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And money does rule the world. Whether you want to use money for good or bad, at the end of the day, money creates greed and money creates power. And there are, I don't want to tell them like, hey man, listen, you're just another mouse. They don't care about you. They don't care about your religion. They don't care about that you're old. They don't care about the medicines that you have to take. Mm-hmm. They don't care. All they care about is telling you what you want to hear. And then they're going to go ahead and do whatever the heck they want anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And truly, they don't even care if you vote for them. And like, that's not even
you
their
know,
thing.
Like, I really want to have that heartbreaking, kind of doing it again, aren't I, conversation with some people and be like, just look them in the eye and go, do you really think that they care about you?
See, that's what I mean by when I say you do want to have the conversation, you do, you would like to have a conversation, but the conversation is just not possible. Yeah. And so you don't want to engage. Right. That's a big difference.
But in their eyes, and I say they, is like family members that think the way that, that they think, oh, she doesn't agree with us, therefore she is the enemy.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, because that's what you're, so let's, that's what's being pounded into your head.
Let's mess with her a little bit, you know? And in my head, I'm going, do not engage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're trying to trigger you.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the opposite of a loving behavior.
Change the subject.
Yeah, yeah.
So I do. So have you heard from so-and-so?
I would just start talking about stuff that makes everybody uncomfortable. You won't believe what I found in my underwear after work yesterday.
So there's this rabbit that's having miscarriages all over my property, and I can't figure out why.
Come on, let's go take a look at the evidence.
Do you want to see one? I have it in a Ziploc bag. I'm studying it, trying to figure it out.
It is. It's so uncomfortable when somebody wants to drag you into something and you're like, you don't want to, don't act like you want to talk. You want to tell. You want to.
You're here to fight with me.
You want to bully.
Yeah. It's like, I don't, I'm very happy right now. Why are you talking about this here?
Just go get your booster shot and go get your ninth booster.
I'm getting a very strong feeling like I want to order a certain kind of hat from Amazon and wear that hat every time they come over.
Oh, yeah?
Oh. I'm wondering what would happen if I wore...
I think you should order six of those hats.
Just like, and have everybody wear them and then go, oh my gosh, get out of here.
What would you, wait, just act like you don't know what the deal is. Just be like, what? Like,
what? We're working outside in the garden.
What's happening?
Take that hat out right now. You take that out of your head right now. What? It's a hat. It's a work hat. What's the problem?
Meanwhile, you ordered those off of Amazon. All of a sudden, you're going to start having more problems with your internet, more problems with your phone service.
I know, right?
Yeah.
It was like, really, that's just like, it would just be a fun prank to do, just to be like, this is who you think I am. So why don't I just be that person for you?
I think we should get a chalk artist that can draw a big, beautiful mural on your driveway of certain politicians that are they're triggering to certain people.
You know what? I'll keep it neutral. I think it'll be of Pence.
Oh, yeah.
Is that neutral?
I don't know.
I don't even know. Like, doesn't everybody hate him now?
Yeah, where did
his party go? And
he just disappeared. What happened with him?
He's probably in a church praying somewhere because he's just like, I don't want to do the. Boy, did I make some mistakes. I think at the end of the day, he's a faithful guy. And I think he's just like, I just did what I thought was right.
Yeah. You can tell politicians who are kind of have the deer in the headlights look where maybe they didn't realize what level of dirty people were going to be towards you. And boy, that dude really did get it back.
I'll tell you what I did like about him that made a lot of sense, that made me feel like he really does honor his marriage and his wife, is that I think it's called the Pence rule. Have you ever heard this?
I don't think so.
So he never went to any event without his wife. So like if it was like a dinner or like a night out or a show, like he was invited by somebody.
Mm-hmm.
He never went without his wife.
That's good. That's a good way to do it.
You know, so he could never be tempted into something. He could you couldn't even like try and frame him with another woman.
I was going to say the level when it comes to especially the religious guys, the level of blackmail attempts are really kind of crazy.
I thought it was really smart. And so when I heard about the Pence rule, I thought, I love that rule. I think that's a good rule to have.
Yeah, why not?
You know?
Do that, if you can afford the child care, and I'm assuming the Pences probably have enough to afford that.
I think they do.
Yeah. And what it also does, too, is it gets you to be more selective of what you go out to. Because a lot of these guys, I mean, I lived in Sacramento. There's politicians that are out all the time, just out and just constantly bouncing around. But that also gives you that... hey, let's we've got an event. Nah, I think we've done plenty of events. This one we could sit out. Yeah. Like it kind of brings somebody else into the decision making, and then it gives you a little more balance too.
Yeah. I thought that was very different, and I thought it was a smart, mm-hmm. but I also thought, what a cool message to send to like young married politicians and just young men in general, you know, like your wife is your shield.
Yeah.
You know?
Unfortunately, I don't think there's a lot of politicians that look up to him.
No. Unfortunately, I don't think there's a lot of politicians that actually marry for love.
It'd be really nice if...
That's kind of harsh. I don't know if I believe that, but...
Well, I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, there's so many distractions in our world. I always wonder that because, you know, I didn't think I would ever be in a position where I would have any say in the singles world or whatever. I pretty much thought I was going to be married forever. Right. It wasn't gonna, but from the outside... or maybe from the inside looking out now, I used to see it and I used to talk to people and they would talk about how brutal it was, how difficult it was to meet like-minded people and how all the different, especially when you're talking about internet dating and the different levels of gameplay and the different levels of, like, it's all, very few people are out there looking for the same thing and it makes it really difficult. And you're like, there's a reason for that. It's because we're not centered. I think you should look at relationships and try to take what you can out of that and go, okay, the way they do this, I know you do this because we've talked about it before. When you see a relationship and there's a part of it that's working, you're like, okay, this mm-hmm. is an investment. The wife is investing by doing this, the husband's investing by, and it's working together. And I think in order for a relationship to work, you have to be constantly evolving and doing that.
Well, some people say a relationship is 50-50. Mm-hmm. It's not. It's 100-100.
Yeah.
And I've heard my brother said he gave me that analogy once. I was like, whoa, I never thought of it like that. And then I recently heard Tony Robbins talk about it like that too. And so the way Tony Robbins said it was when a relationship is 50-50, it leaves the other person feeling half full. Mm-hmm. You should feel full always.
Right.
Right. So I think I heard it was a priest on the radio who said unconditional love is saying, I don't really like you right now, mm-hmm. but I'm going to choose to love you anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's love that's marriage, you know, that is. It's going to be like that, but sometimes you have to.
And you have to be able to give that person space too.
Oh, for sure.
If you walk away, then the other person has to be able to give you, or if the other person walks away, you have to be able to give them a little space too.
Totally. Totally. You know, we had my husband and I, I'll just be open about it. We had like a rough Christmas. It was very, very stressful, mostly for me. And there was a little bit of resentment that was still kind of was fading. And I was really working on getting rid of it and being forgiving. And not that he really did anything wrong.
No.
At the end of the day, he really did nothing wrong. I just felt like I was not being listened to. I felt like what my wishes were kind of disregarded. And really there wasn't anything that happened that was awful except for me feeling like I told everyone how I would be okay with this and none of what I requested was done.
Yeah.
Right?
I remember how that all played out.
And so I think that we finally like were able to resolve, and that was like only like 2 weeks ago. So that's how long it took for us to just kind of just finally resolve it and really have a conversation about it and say, listen, I felt this. This is how I felt. Forget about how there's nothing wrong that happened. The end of the day, I felt like it didn't. Don't ask me if you can do something and how it's going to be easier. And then I give you the solution.
Right.
And then it's ignored.
Yeah.
So we had like a good, it was good. And so it's resolved and we're totally back to normal, but that's what happens. Like you have to work.
Sometimes
things aren't resolved overnight.
Yeah. The growth starts with that uncomfortable conversation. And looking back, there's so many times where I was like, I just don't want to start the conversation.
Yeah.
And then you hold it inside and it might be just a little bit of resentment.
Yeah.
By the morning, it's a little more resentment. And you just like, if you're not going to be open and you're not going to talk about it, that stuff
you can sweep it under the rug as much as you want. But when there's always going to be a conversation where those feelings are going to be brought back.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You have to keep them in check.
And so there's points where, you know, I've even done it, you know, where you go, you know what? I didn't bring up this conversation to like get into that right now. Let's just put a pin in it. I don't want to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not fair to the other person.
Yeah.
Right? Because now that other person is
now in defensive mode.
Defensive mode is getting revisited by the emotions. Right. And so then it's like, you have to talk about it. Like if it's organic and it's coming up, you have to deal with it.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, it seems like a lot of our issues were always communication. There were things that if we were able to just go, hey, let's talk about this, let's squish it, rather than letting the resentment come up. Mm-hmm. Most of our conversations that were important like that, started when somebody was so frustrated that they could barely talk.
Yeah.
And if that's where the conversation starts, how do you expect the other person to be able to receive it? And there's no real fixing it. You can try.
Right. And it's usually like, what do you want me to do? And usually the answer is acknowledge that you did this and apologize.
Yeah. Yeah.
Acknowledge it and say, I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that.
Mm-hmm.
Like it get there. Can you get there and at least like kind of honor how I feel and go, yeah, I guess that would really suck. Like be empathetic. That's all I want,
mm-hmm.
you know, in resolving an issue and then change it.
Yeah.
Don't do it again.
Yeah.
Now we know, you know, where are we? We're in March.
Mm-hmm.
So January, February, 3 months.
Right.
That's,
well, to be fair, the issue was
sticking
around for about 4 weeks.
Yeah. Well, but the thing is like one will say, well, that's not healthy. But my whole, you know, but then you're like, I really want to just get as a person. You also have to work through the forgiveness.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't fight about it every night. So you're like, you're working through it and things are happening and you're having good times and life is happening.
And right? and in the back of your mind, you know everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
As long as you know everything's going to be okay, and then you can let the thing solve itself a little bit.
Yes. And then you can't push on it, right? Sometimes you do have to wait for those organic moments where you're like, by the way, you know, or this, I don't know if you realize this, but I've been working on feeling reconnected to you now for it's getting better and better every week, but the first month was really hard for me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's marriage, y'all.
Yeah.
Are y'all ready? Who got their engagement rings for this weekend? Who's getting married?
It's all about that effort. It really is.
Yeah. When they say marriage is work, it is work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it went into that stuff, but really in all, it should be fun and easy. Just like when you're falling in love with that right person, it should just be not a game. It shouldn't be a game.
Yeah.
And it should just be everything should just be easy. Simple.
I don't know if it's supposed to be simple, but yeah.
I don't know. So the difference between the people that I dated before my husband, everything just seemed like a game. It seemed like, okay, I think we had a good time. I had a good time. I really want to see him again. But the rules were you can't call him.
Yeah.
He has to call you. And your guys' rule is you can't call her right after. You got to wait 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
So that was usually it. And so then like you'd be anticipating the 3-day call and then they wouldn't. And then would suck, right?
Yeah.
So then there was that, and then there was, there's always one person wants more than the other person wants to give.
Oh, yeah, no question right? about that.
And then there's the, like, you know, with me, I was kind of like, if you want to get to that point with me, you have to, are we like a boyfriend and girlfriend? Are we committed to each other? And every guy I dated was like, yeah, I'm not really looking to be committed to anybody. And I was like, well, then my shirt's not coming off.
That's how I am. I leave my shirt on too.
You can't try and unsnap my bra. Like, what are we doing here?
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I was a prude.
Well, your husband's a good dude, though. But, your husband's a good guy with good intentions, and you were able to build a good relationship with a solid foundation.
What's funny is with him, it was the opposite. Because then by that point, I was like, I don't need a man. I just need Jesus. I'm just going to focus on my career and on my faith, and I'm just going to focus on that because it was working. And then he came along, and he's like, was asking all these questions, and I was like, I don't want to. You know, I don't know. He's like, well, let's go on a date. And I was like, no, I don't want to date anybody. But so we did have that solid foundation. I will say this happened a few times with the guys I was dating before him, is they'd say, yeah, I'm not looking to be in a committed relationship. And I'd say, okay, fine. I'm happy I know that now. Good luck. By the time I moved on to like a new guy I was dating, those dudes were like on my porch going, I made a mistake. And then I go, sorry, man, I'm dating somebody else that I really like now. I don't know where it's going to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that funny how that works? I had a girlfriend that was like that in Hawaii where she was like, I think we should see other people. So I was like, all right. I went and saw somebody that night. And then the next day I told her, just so you know, because of your thing, I went and saw somebody last night. And she goes, I don't think we should see other people.
Yeah.
I was like, it's probably a good plan. Yeah,
it's So I tried that with my little bubby, and he said, so you're telling me that because I use the word keep my doors open. I want to keep my doors open.
Yeah.
Which is a bad analogy to use because it sounds like I definitely want to try other penises. I haven't tried yours yet, but I want to see what's out there first. So that's what it sounded like. What I meant.
We're also kind of taught that that's the way you're supposed to do it, too. Like when me and Rebecca first got together, her stupid dad was saying, you have to date more people. You have to. And she's like, I have somebody I like. Why would I date more people?
Right. Well. Yeah, so that's what my mom said. She said, just keep your doors open. I said, okay.
Isn't it amazing how wacky that generation is?
Yeah, and she goes, you're not going to get married anytime soon anyway, so just date, have fun. And I said, okay. And by that point in my life, I actually was getting taken out to dinner and shows, and so it was a fun time to like say yes to people and go, yeah, I'll go. Let's go dancing. Let's go see a show. Let's, you know. Anyway, this poor guy says, I want you to be my girlfriend. And I said, no. And he said, I don't want to see any other people. And I said, but I don't want to be in a committed relationship. And he goes, okay, so this is how it's going to work. I'm not going to see other people and you can. And I said, really? Yes. So I'm not going to see any other people. I know that I want to be with you. I know I want you to be my girl. And if you're not there yet, that's fine. He's like, you can keep seeing whoever you want.
Because he believes you're worth waiting for.
Yeah. I think he even said, like, I don't want to know about it, though.
Yeah, I know.
And I said, okay. And we kind of went that way for about 2 months. And then I finally like kind of, I wasn't together with anyone, but I told, you know.
Anybody who was trying to court you or whatever.
Yeah. I said, you know what? I'm not, because I'd get a phone call, like, what are you doing this weekend? I'd be like, you know what? I'm not really, I'd rather hang out with this other guy.
Yeah. I'm going to leave my weekend open just in case he gets off work.
So the next time he asked me, I said, yes, I'll be your girlfriend.
Nice. See?
I mean, it was obvious we were hanging out all the time.
Yeah. You were just being stubborn ass roach.
Yeah, I was like obviously not seeing anyone else.
Most stubborn human being on earth.
So so then like by the third month, he was like, what are we doing here? Will you be my girlfriend? And I was like, fine.
See?
Fine, I'll be your girlfriend.
He knew that it was, he knew that you were worth the investment.
Yeah.
He knew that even though you were saying that you wanted to keep your doors open, you weren't like, it wasn't like you were out doing bad things. You just wanted time to like,
he knew I was,
you were processing is what you were doing.
I was pure.
Well, you were processing like what was going on.
So you're prostituting.
Oh, you guys hear that? Sound like a chicky emergency.
Sounds like some eggs are getting fertilized.
Oh, is that what that is?
Maybe. They're like, get off of me.
Oh, well.
Get off of me.
Is that how that, so chickens are like humans. They start yelling at you when you start trying to procreate.
This rooster doesn't let them know. There's like no romance. There's no courting. He just like hops on their back and gets to it. They get startled.
That's how Tommy came around. No, I'm kidding. That was a total joke.
I didn't like know where to go with that. I was like, he's talking about her, right?
Talking about her getting pregnant with Tommy.
I know, yeah, but right. I'm thinking like she jumped on you, not the other way around.
No, let's see. Yeah, she had me on a pretty good schedule at that time because she's like, I'm ovulating. We're going to do this at this time.
Isn't that funny?
I'm going to keep my feet up in the air and blah, 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 blah.
You
want to
get pregnant so bad. Sometimes it's a lot harder than you think it's going to be. And then there's people that I know, a woman who got pregnant her first time having sex.
Wow.
In high school.
That stinks.
First time.
Stinks.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Yeah. She told me that. I was like, no, you didn't. She goes, first time.
Wow.
Lost my virginity and I got pregnant.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Yeah. And I was like, dang.
I was in my mid-30s when Tommy was born. I just didn't think that, like, I was wondering, I'm like, I wonder if my stuff even works. Because I had gone all those years and never had a kid, never got anybody pregnant.
Yeah. Yeah. Turns out, so I never got a period.
Ever?
Because the look on his face is priceless, man. I wish I was more prepared, and I do video just his face when we talk, because sometimes he just kind of looks at me like, oh, I'm so lost. Father, help me. No, I was a dancer, but...
Oh, that's right, the dancing thing.
I have two theories about that. I don't know why I didn't get my period, but I didn't get it. In fact, when they took a blood test when I was just a little bit younger, maybe like early 20s, the doctor told me I had more testosterone than I should. Yeah. And I was like, is that why there's hair growing out of my chin?
Is that why I have a Fu Manchu?
Is that why I have so much hair on my face? What the heck? What do we do to fix this? And he's like, nothing. He's like, you don't really have to do anything. But when you do decide to get pregnant, because my mom's fear was like, she's not going to be able to have children.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you're going to have to go on birth control to like regulate your period. And then it stopped there, right? And I was like, okay. So then I got married and I was still like super, like I'd get my period like maybe twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was ridiculous. And, well, I was trying to get pregnant and I kind of had forgotten what the doctor had said. And then so I went to see a specialist, and this OBGYN said, well, sweetheart, you can't get pregnant if you're not getting a period. And I thought, oh, okay. So then came like the drugs that made me they weren't birth control. By the way, I was given birth control after I was married. And that actually, I ended up getting pregnant. I know.
On birth control.
I didn't know I was pregnant. I was taking, and I was a dancer. I was, you know, taking diet pills and hydroxycut. Mm-hmm. And I was like not eating. And I was, you know, doing all the awful things that some athletes and artists do to stay thin.
Yeah, you gotta get through the weekend. Yeah.
And I kept taking, and I was getting sick. I was I had morning sickness, and I called the doctor and I said, these pills are making me sick. And he said, your body's just adjusting to it. It's the hormones. It'll go, it'll fade. And then I had a miscarriage. I was at a show. I went to the bathroom, and this is getting so, so sad. Guys, it's okay. But anyway, I don't know how I even got on that. But the point is this is how I got to it. It took me a while to figure out how to get pregnant. And so sometimes when women are trying to get pregnant, guys that you don't know out there, they start to want to learn their cycle and what is ovulation and at what point is the highest, you know, percentage that I'm going to get pregnant in an 11-hour span.
Yeah.
Like, you want to nail it down. And that's why Tom is saying, you know, he had his wife had him on a good schedule.
Yeah. She's like, save it up for Thursday.
Yep. That's one of the things they say, like, don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Save it all up for Thursday.
Yeah.
You're going to need it.
Cannonball.
Thursday.
Yeah. Like a blowhole. And you stand on your head.
She did too. Stand on her head. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. You want to make, it's gravity. It makes sense.
You got to make sure it gets in there.
That's like, common. That's a common sense thing.
Like, I'll be in the living room.
Yeah.
Let me know when you're done with your headstand.
Totally. I remember feeling like, I have to go to the bathroom so bad. And then I'd be like, don't do it. Don't you sit on that toilet.
Yeah.
Stay on your head.
It all goes away if you go potty. Can't let that happen.
That's so crazy.
Well, I think, and you're done doing kids, and I'm done doing kids. So now it's all behind us. Now all we can do is impart our wisdom to others.
Totally. I'm in a whole different part of my life right now where I'm like, what is happening right now? And what, like, I don't know what I'm doing, but at the same time, I'm just having such a fun time with it.
Isn't it great?
Yeah.
So fun. There's like where I'm at right now with my career, there's so many things that are like starting to happen. And it's exciting and it's scary and it's overwhelming.
It's good if it's scary.
But overall, it's exciting.
If it's scary, that's good.
Yeah, all the growth, and we talk about it all the time, all the growth comes outside of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. When you start feeling uncomfortable, that's when more likely good things are happening than bad things.
Yeah. No one ever said it was going to be easy.
Yeah.
Immortal words of Betty Carlin. From the American Academy of Dramatic Arts. To try and like get me to a place emotionally for a scene. And she'd be like, just, you know, like basically like the energy was like, just freaking get there. Go there, you know. And you're just like, I can't. It's so hard. I don't want to go there. And then she'd go, oh, honey, I'm so sorry. Whoever told you it was going to be easy?
Little Willie Green from New Orleans, a greedy boy was he. He always liked a lot of kids around just to keep him company. One day his mom bought him a jelly roll, the best cake that was made. When the kids began to hang around, little Willie said, I ain't gonna give nobody none of this jelly roll. I wouldn't give you a piece of this cake to save your soul. My mom told me today, when she went away, to be a good boy, she bring me a toy. I'm my mama's pride and joy. Ain't no use for you to keep on hanging around. I love you, but I hate the time you die. This jelly roll is sweet, surely hard to beat. I know you want it, but you can't have it, cause I ain't gonna give you none. jelly roll. I wouldn't give you a piece of this cake to save your soul. Mama told me that day when she went away, the bigger boy should bring that toy. I'm my mama's red eye boy. Ain't no use for you to keep on hanging around. I love you, but I hate the county down. This jelly roll is sweet, surely hard to beat. I know you want it, but you can't have it, 'cause I ain't gonna give you nothing.